Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sound check. It's on your radio.
Sound check.
Listen to it with your ears.
Sound check. On the internet.
Sound check.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Before we get to today's show, which, by the way, is an awesome hour featuring Creed Bratton from the hit TV series The Office and live music from the soul duo known as Lady, before we do any of that, we're going to revisit something from yesterday's show. We heard about the new exhibition at the Museum of the Moving Image called Spectacle, devoted to the relatively recent art form known as the music video. If you missed it, you should check it out. In our archives, it's on soundcheck.org, and one of the things we were talking about was the first music video that really meant something to you, and we asked you for your memories of that first time that a video grabbed you and made you think, wow, this is cool, or scary, or art. Here's what our listener Millie had to say.
I'm just calling to say that the video that sticks in my head the most was from the 80s, A-ha's Take on Me. I'm not really an 80s music fan, but as soon as you say music video, that just will remain indelibly in my brain.
I'm coming for your love, okay? Take on me.
Take on me.
Take on me.
I'll be gone.
The young woman going into the picture, and then the picture actually at the end becoming real, and just the whole thing was just something that will forever remain in my head as a video when videos really started to become popular.
The Norwegian pop band A-ha and their one big hit, Take on Me. Actually, it became a hit mainly because of its striking pencil-animated video back in 1985. So that was Millie's first memorable experience of a music video. For my first memorable experience of a music video, check out the blog at soundcheck.org. What about you? Share your music video memory at 866-939-1612 or tweet us at soundcheck. Of course, people are still making music videos today, and some of them might be worth remembering as well. So tomorrow, we'll look at the best, so far, of this year's crop of music videos. And while we do that tomorrow, we'll all be recording a certain TV show on our DVRs. For fans of the hit NBC series The Office, a sad day is drawing near. After a 9-season run, the show will come to a close on May 16th. But for actor Creed Bratton, who plays a creepier version of himself on the show's end really just means there's more time for music. In addition to being an actor, Creed Bratton is a solo artist and a former member of the 60s band The Grassroots. He joins me here in our Soundcheck studio. Hi, Creed.
Thank you for having me, John.
So The Office, the season wraps up, the whole show wraps up May 16th. Will we see a kind of Creed-focused episode before then?
We will see Creed saying goodbye to the fans in the season finale. It builds up a little bit, but there will be a little button, a little ribbon tied around it, yes, for the fans.
I mean, he's a character who's sort of been on the margins of sort of the main plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in almost as a kind of visual punchline, it seems.
He's like the Greek chorus, I believe, you know, in a way.
Right.
But the spine of the story that he has is not the one that they're involved in.
Right. He's the creepy old man with the sprouted mung beans in his drawer.
Right. They smell like hell, but they're very nutritious.
Now, his name, you know, you're Creed Bratton, he's Creed Bratton. People are always sort of trying to find where that line is between an actor and his or her character. In your case, with the character having the same name, how much of that character is you?
Well, the reality was I got on the show because of a director who brought me on. And I realized with all these talented cats that I had to be noticed. So I wrote a talking head and that I filmed with my character saying that I had continued doing drugs and I had not stopped my wicked, wicked ways. And I'd almost OD'd and passed out on a bus, ended up in Scranton in a dumpster. So I had this whole thing figured out. I handed it to Greg Daniels and they loved it. And so Greg said, I'm going to use your real name, if that's okay with you, and say you were in the Grassroots and show clips of you playing. And I said, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be my name. It'll help me. It'll help promote me.
So basically, you gave them a character with all the backstory.
Right, right. And then they went from there with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was almost going to say taken from your life, but started with your life and then gone down. For you, fortunately, the road not traveled.
If I had been that guy, I would be in jail, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
We're speaking with Creed Bratton, the actor and musician who plays the character Creed on the NBC hit series The Office. Here's a little bit of his work, looking back on those old days.
In the 60s, I made love to many, many women, often outdoors, in the mud and the rain, and it's possible a man slipped in. Would be no way of knowing.
That might just be my favorite moment from all of Creed's moments on The Office.
I laughed so hard. That was a hard one to do without cracking up. It was so hard.
Well, now, you know.
That's what she said.
You never say Woodstock, but you say making love to women in the mud and stuff, and people will automatically think, Woodstock.
Woodstock, exactly.
Were you at Woodstock?
No. The closest I came to one of those shows was Devonshire Downs, which was Newport. And everybody played that in L.A. That was in L.A. And then Miami Pop Festival, 50,000 people.
So you played those shows as the lead guitarist of the Grassroots.
Right.
And the strange story about that band is it was another band, and then you guys took the name? Do I have that right?
I had left college. I spent 2.5 years in Europe and Africa with a group called the Young Californians. Came to L.A., had a band called the 13th Floor. And we were playing around the Valley, and we were playing at the London Fog, where everybody played right next to the Whiskey. That's how everybody started.
The Whiskey Go-Go.
The Whiskey Go-Go. Yeah. That's how everybody started before they got to the Whiskey. Steve Barry and P.F. Sloan had a song called Where Were You When I Needed You. They had a regional hit with it, but no band. So they got this group from San Francisco called the Bedouins. The Bedouins had played that song, and they were out there for a little bit. Then they didn't want to do it. So they were stuck with this song, and they wanted to. And we came in, Warren and I wrote a song called Beating Around the Bush, folk rocky. Said, okay, here it is. We like you guys, and we like how you sing and stuff. You can be the 13th floor and go your ways, or you can come in now and be the Grassroots, and you've already got a song actually on the charts, and we'll cut this Live for Today song. And we said, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good idea. And then we had all these hits.
Including Let's Live for Today, which was a hit for the Grassroots in 1967.
When I think of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true, I'm glad that we are different, we've better things to do. May others plan their future, I'm busy loving you. 1, 2, 3, 4 Sha-la-la-la-la-la, live for today.
Let's Live for Today was a big hit for the Grassroots in 1967 with Creed Bratton playing guitar and doing
acoustic
some of the
guitar and doing a lot of the la-las. We, na-na-na-na-na, la-la-la-la-la-la. Not only because we were stoned and forgot the lyrics. There were lyrics for that, probably something, but we just said, we'll just la-la-la our way too. Uh-huh. We thought obscurity, but it turned out the other way, which is much better.
So even back then, the kind of the seeds of the Creed Bratton of The Office were being sown in your wild youth.
I didn't really take it very seriously. I was always making jokes about everything. People take them so seriously. I just don't, you know. It's not fun for me.
There's an episode in The Office where B.J. Novak, who plays Ryan,
the temp
at that point, pretends that he has made a blog for you because he wants to spare humanity from actually hearing your thoughts as expressed in this blog called www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts.
Yes.
Now, so that's a funny enough moment. But then it actually did sort of become a blog and a Facebook page for
a while. Went on with Creed Thoughts, you know. I mean, I have creedbratton.com. That's my site.
Right.
And I have my own Twitter. But they do have a thing NBC put out called Creed Thoughts, you know.
And there's on that Facebook page, most of the stuff is pretty funny. But there's this one post, which I'm going to guess is you, and it goes: "Not a day goes by where I don't tap out a rhythm or pick up my axe and play a lick or two. If you cut open my veins, I'm fairly certain that quarter notes would come tumbling out. I can't imagine my life without music, and I don't want to."
Now that line with the tapping I never said that.
Okay.
But it's true. I can't imagine my life without music.
So you haven't had to live without music because The Office has been a fairly musical show.
Yeah. And I have a guitar on my desk there all the time. You know, I'm always picking up and playing for the guys, you know. Enough with the songs, Creed. Put it down.
You mean actually on the set?
Oh, yeah,
while people are trying to work
and make a show. I've written several songs because people sometimes drag it in to get the show. So I'll say, all right, pick up the guitar, go in the green room. Some chords will come out, you know.
And are some of these songs on the new album?
On the new album. Some of the songs are in the new album. Yeah, exactly.
Creed Bratton's new album is called Tell Me About It. It'll be released on May 21st, so just 5 days after the show wraps.
That's correct.
And it's in three EP-sized acts.
Correct.
So you had a story in mind, I guess.
I always wanted to do an off-Broadway show where I would get up on stage and tell this amazing trip that I've been on through the years, which is pretty damn incredible, I have to say. Even for me, I go, wow, it's pretty amazing. And so we were doing this is my sixth solo album. And Dave Way, my producer, said, I got to tell you, this song, these songs are like an autobiography. And I went, and he said, we should just do it like an autobiography and put it in three acts, like a play.
So it's this three-act story.
Acts.
There is this song called Faded Spats.
That Vance DeGeneres, Ellen's brother, and I wrote. I met him at the health food store getting my mung beans.
Oh, so that part from The Office really is true?
I do mung beans and all the tofu. I'm a vegan and all that stuff. So we started writing songs, and he kind of said, well, what do you want to write about? And I said, well, I have this riff. I play in this riff and an idea of this melody thing. And so kind of we should, and we started talking, and said, we should write about a girl and a guy having their first acid trip. So that's what Faded Spats is about. Girl and guy having their first acid trip.
It's from the new record. Keep the kids away, folks. It's from the new record by Creed Bratton.
Good for you, kids.
Daylight is much too bright.
That is some of Creed Bratton's forthcoming record called Tell Me About It and a song called Faded Spats.
Faded Spats.
I have not seen the word spats in a
title. You just don't really hear it. And I think that's why. It has really nothing to do with the song. I just thought spats doesn't get used enough. Let's just throw it in there. No, it's these guys, these hipsters. I remember this guy on a trip one time. and he had the Dayglow, you know, tie-dye shirt, you know, and the pants with the suspenders. But on his shoes, he had spats.
And they people were don't even wanted. Know what spats are anymore.
For you kids and people out there, there used to be a little white or maybe tan little pieces of canvas that with buttons on them that go in to protect your shoes from the elements.
So they'd go around your ankles.
They go around your ankles and on top of your shoes. Yeah. And they're kind of cool. Maybe I'll start wearing spats. maybe you and I should get some spats and wear them. It'd be kind of cool.
We're speaking with Creed Bratton, the actor and musician who plays the character of Creed on the NBC series The Office. He's soon to release his sixth solo album. Former lead guitarist in the 60s band The Grassroots, which means, Creed, that you must have toured. I mean, you mentioned some of the big places the band played, but you must have toured with, you know, a lot of the big names of that period.
Well, we played with the Byrds and the Beach Boys and the Doors. I was very close with those guys, you know, and still seeing, I talked to Ray and...
Ray Manzarek?
Yeah, and John was my best man at my wedding. John Densmore.
The drummer.
Fogarty, I still see him up where I live. Lives across the street. Janis Joplin, and we played this Fillmore one time, and we came in, and she was sitting there drinking her bourbon and stuff, and she looked so sad. She was such a sad girl, and my heart went out to her at the time, you know, because I was feeling great. What's there to be sad about, you know? I'm in a rock and roll band, so 60, it's a summer of love. What's the deal, you know? But, you know, it's whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying myself.
So what made it stop? Why did you leave the band?
I left the band because after we did Live for Today, then we did Feelings, and on Loving Things, we came off the road, and the tracks were cut, and they wanted us to do the vocals on them.
Meaning they'd gotten the studio band.
They had the Wrecking Crew, and the Wrecking Crew, now I have to kind of just bounce around here.
Right.
The Wrecking Crew I respect so much, and we'd put their... their names on our album.
Was Glenn Campbell still playing with the Wrecking Crew back then?
He didn't play with us. It was Hal Blaine and Larry Nechtel.
These amazing studio
players. Yeah, yeah. Joe Osborne and people like that. So Warren and I played with those guys on Live for Today. But at the time, I said, look, I'm not as good as those guys. I know this. I'm competent on guitar. I said, but Feelings album was a good album. I mean, we played our own instruments. I said, we got to stick together and write our songs. And I was right as an artist, but I was wrong as a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily for me, The Office came along and I've got a, you know, rebirth and stuff. But at the time, it put me in a downward spiral. And for like 30 years, I mean, I didn't, it was rough.
Yeah.
It was really rough, but turned out okay. Yes.
So was acting what you fell back on right away, did that happen gradually?
I was a drama major in college, so I'd played since I was like 13. I was making money at 17 playing. So it was just something I did. It was my day job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always could make money going somewhere and playing for people. But acting is something that I felt that I had a calling for that too. So it was both. It's always been both.
And this, the forthcoming record has not only songs, but skits.
Skits with P.S. Sloan and
Rain Wilson.
Celebrate. A bunch of us are going out. What do you say? You want to come with us?
Oh.
Don't hem and haw. You got to do it. Let's go. Creed, come on. Put in your dentures. Put on a pair of Depends. Let's head out. What do you say?
I think I'm going to
Don't
go.
Do this. You are about to keel over at any moment and die. Make the most of the remaining few days that you have left and come out with us. Let's do it.
I just got to make an early night of it, man.
An early night of it. You are lame.
In a funny way, it's kind of the reverse of the great old Monty Python records where it was mostly skits and then you'd get like these neat songs in between.
It is. Exactly. We're trying to blend with it. And exactly like my live show, if I'm up, I talk about my career, and people love the stories. And then I'll go and say, oh, but you know, anyway, here's a song for that time, and I go back and forth all the way through.
Speaking of stories, again, Creed Bratton's my guest, the actor and musician from The Office. The album is due on May 21st called Tell Me About It. Is there a story behind the song My Name is Leon? Because it has this kind of booming, boom, boom kind of sound that I associate with Leon Redbone.
Leon Redbone. Well, that's very astute observation, John. it came
but
from
wrong.
No. In a way, it is. We Dave and I, my producer Dave Way, we were listening to the album, and at that one point of that album, it just stayed there at one note. It was just flatlining this time, and we said, we need something else. And Dylan O'Brien, our brilliant, genius keyboard guy, he said, you know, what I hear is something light or something funny like a Ringo song. It needs to be serendipitous. It needs to be whimsical, right? And we said, yeah. So I was sitting around again at the office one day. Boom, doom, my name is Leon. So I took it in with the guys and I said, hey, let's do a group song. Ready? One, two, and we just did it. We just did it like that.
Now, just to clarify for listeners, when Creed says, I was at the office, he means capital T, capital O, the office.
That's that office, yes.
Which the show wraps up on May 16th, the hit NBC series in which Creed plays the character of Creed. Creed Bratton's new album, released 5 days later, will be called Tell Me About It. We'll hear this song called My Name is Leon. Creed, it has been a lot of fun talking
with
you.
It's been
Thanks
great.
So much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, man.
This is Soundcheck.
My name is Leon. I'm a peon. I ride the rails. I sail the sails. My name is Leon. I snow freedom. My friend's in jail. She smells like hell. Everybody wants to go.
Join us tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, on soundcheck.org to listen in to our recording session with Cloud Cult, known for making paintings live on stage as they play. The Midwestern psychedelic band will join us to play songs from their new album called Love. Here's a bit of it.
Checking, checking on your emotion. Are you an angry one or a father? Will you sink today? Your decision. Oh, oh, no.
That's Cloud Cult, a live audio stream. 2 p.m. tomorrow. Tune in, hear them playing live on soundcheck.org. The band Lady performs live in the studio next, and later our contributor Faith Saley asks, why do pop singers seem to lose their accents when they sing? This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Singers Nicole Ray and Terry Walker started their musical careers literally thousands of miles apart, one in Virginia, the other in London. But the two eventually met up here in New York and teamed up to form Lady, a dually led band with a classic soul sound. They've recently released a debut self-titled album. The band is here in the studio to play a stripped-down set for us. This is Lady performing their song Money live on Soundcheck.
Money, money, money. roll with me that I make.
That is Lady, live on Soundcheck, and a song called Money. The ladies are Terry Walker and Nicole Ray, the two singers who are joining me at the microphone here in the Soundcheck studio. Leon Michaels on tambourine, Vincent D'Annunzio on the electric guitar. Terry, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello.
Nicole, good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Is that... Was I hearing that correctly? Is that a love song to money?
Yes, kind
of. It's basically really more about we work hard for our money. We don't want anyone else to basically
bother us
money.
About
we plan
it.
We plan our own money.
Leave us alone.
You know.
So what you guys are doing for us here in the studio is obviously a stripped-down version on the record. You do get more into this kind of classic 60s soul sound.
Yeah.
You were both born like 20 years after that was the sound of the day. So how did that happen for you guys?
I think for us, it's Truth and Soul. This is their baby. This is their thing.
Truth and Soul being the
label.
The record
and Expressions. This is their thing. We kind of like just collaborated with the guys and just came in.
One of those guys being Leon, who's lurking behind the tambourine
man.
There.
Tambourine man, yeah. And they provided us with this beautiful music, and we kind of just all collabed together and kind of made it one big, you know, beautiful.
But before the two of you could collaborate with them, you had to find each other. And,
Yes. We found it so many miles and miles and miles away
miles
from
away.
Me.
An but ocean away at the beginning.
Away. And we connected straight away, actually. It was just one of those things where... We're just kindred souls. Straight away we met, it was just like, girl, I like you. Let's go get another drink. Let's hang out. Woo!
Let's
sing. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just everything has been really organic and just natural, you know? Can't really explain it. It's nuts.
Which sounds like, you know, a great, wonderful music business story, except that there's a kind of more conventional, nasty music business story before that happens, right? I mean, you each had...
Of course.
You each had solo careers that seemed to be on the move.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then And then what happens?
Then no move. We try to figure it out.
Yes.
That's why I think get ready. You know, we've Terry and I, we share similar stories in the music business on a solo vibe. Just, you know, trying to songwrite and be a part of a label and figure out where it is that we wanted to go. And then we met each other. And it's like a lot of people kind of questioned if we had it.
Yes.
If we had what it took. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, so you've both done kind of lead vocals. Mm-hmm. And then you've both done kind of backing vocals for other people on other records. This is neither one nor the other. I mean, you're lead, but you're not hogging the... Yeah. So is that a different kind of way of singing? Because you have to be listening pretty closely at the same time, right?
Do you know what? Not really, because, again, I think for us, we breathe, eat, sleep this from the moment we started. So, like, for us to sing in harmony or just do something is just so easy for us. So, no, it's very easy.
We've both had the choir experience, too.
Well, why don't we hear another song? The band is called Lady. Terry Walker, Nicole Ray, and the boys performing live in the Soundcheck studio. This song is called Hold On.
You keep on running, looking for something, but never find it. You are misguided. I have decided to give you guidance. Come take the high road, baby. Connected, something eclectic, but not too hectic. A new perspective. Come take the high road, drive with me. Top down is breezy.
Song's called Hold On. Lady is the band here in the Soundcheck studio playing for us today. Terry Walker and Nicole Ray, the vocalists. Leon Michaels, tambourine. Vincent D'Annunzio playing the electric guitar. Terry, just real quick.
Yeah.
You're from London.
Yeah.
But when you're singing, the accent disappears.
I know.
How is that? Is that, did you have to learn to do that?
No, because I think growing up as a kid, my mum always, like, you know, from Hall & Oates to Whispers to, you know, Bill Withers. I mean, I've listened to a lot of American music growing up. So I think when I knew that I wanted to sing, I just used to emulate a lot of American singers. So I think it just, for some reason, because when I try
sounds
to do
good.
It, when I speak, it's not the same. But yes.
Sounds wonderful.
So Nicole, I mean, as we sort of alluded to before, you've both seen the ups and downs of the music industry, and now that you have this, you know, this feels good, this project called Lady, amazing. And the debut album is out, what are your hopes for this?
Well, I'm hoping that it catches on. It's beautiful. It sounds good. Like you said, we have been through a lot. We really want to show people that we do have what it takes, and we want to just show love and spread love, and we want to be universal. We really do. We want to reach the young, the old, the hip-hoppers, everybody. We just want to
be
free.
This is a style of music that hip-hop has traditionally sampled.
Yes, we say that all the time.
Very good effect. All right, stick around, because we have more music from Lady coming up later in the show. But first, when it comes to music, there are plenty of unanswered questions. Musical mysteries, if you will. Did Pink Floyd really write Dark Side of the Moon to sync up with The Wizard of Oz? Are Jay-Z and Beyoncé really members of the Illuminati? Why do classical musicians hate on the viola so much? Well, our contributor Faith Saley has been pondering some of these so-called musical mysteries and has kindly offered to play detective for us. In fact, one mystery that's been on her mind lately just came up with the band Lady here in the studio. I asked singer Terry Walker why her British accent seems to disappear when she sings. Faith, how did this question come up for you?
So, John, a little while ago, I was watching the Oscars, and the singer Adele gets up and sings her amazing James Bond theme, Skyfall.
Skyfall is where we start. A thousand miles and poles apart.
Okay, and then she wins the Oscar for Best Original Song.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is amazing. I'd just like to thank Barbara Broccoli and Michael Wilson at Eon Productions, Sony Pictures, MGM.
Okay, I loved her little speech, but I honestly couldn't make out about half of what she said. I mean, that girl has one serious British accent, but you would never know it from her singing voice. So I started wondering, why do accents seem to magically disappear when we sing?
Good singing is good singing. And what singers will train to do, whether they're a pop singer or a classical singer, is they try to produce pure vowels.
That's Professor Bill Beeman. He's a linguist at the University of Minnesota and an opera singer.
If you come in with a heavy Australian accent or a heavy British accent, and you want to sound like an American pop singer, you have to train to do that.
Okay, so Bill Beeman says non-Americans have to work to clean up their accents. But Andy Gibson, a researcher at Auckland University of Technology in New Zealand, has a different take.
For most people, what they hear on the radio, what they hear walking around the supermarket, it tends to be the kind of pop music which is sung in that American-style pop music accent.
According to Andy's research, and he actually studied this exact phenomenon of American accents in pop music, the American accent is so ubiquitous in global pop that it's actually easier for most non-Americans to sound like us than it is to sing in their own native accents. He did this study where he asked his fellow Kiwis to sing a pop tune.
A couple of them really wanted to sound like New Zealanders, and they actually had a really hard time moving away from those American vowels because they're so ingrained, and it actually sounds strange to people to hear New Zealand vowels sung just because they're out of context.
Of course, New Zealand accents do show up in music occasionally, but as Andy points out, it's generally in a comedic context. Prime example, Flight of the Conchords.
In a city, in a city, Prussia.
Counting coins on the counter of the 7-Eleven from a quarter past six till a quarter to seven. The manager, Bevan...
Okay, but how did we get to this point? Andy says that because of the way that vowels are laid out in the human mouth, it's not that difficult physically to sound like Americans. But Sasha Frere Jones, music writer for The New Yorker, says when this phenomenon began decades ago, it was mainly about global imitation of American singers, like blues artists.
Pop music is basically, with a few exceptions, you know, an American invention. We can go way back, and it's an American form.
And according to Sasha, once that American standard was set, it's been hard for non-American-sounding English language artists to break into the top 10.
What's interesting is Americans have been very comfortable with the people being interviewed, being on the air, speaking in those accents. But getting the accent into the song has been harder than you would think it would be.
Of course, there are always exceptions to the rule. Lily Allen and Shakira are just two examples of accented artists who have made their way toward the top of the charts.
Lucky you were born that far away, so we could both make fun of distance. Lucky that I'm of a foreign land, for the lucky fact of your existence. Baby,
I think Shakira's success doesn't only depend on her fabulous accent. So, one musical mystery solved. Kind of. It seems that accents disappear in pop music because for most people, it might actually be easier to sound American than not. And if it doesn't come naturally, well, I'm sure Professor Beeman could whip your rhotic R's into shape. What we did not solve today is why Madonna talks like a British person. Do you have any musical mysteries? I'm not too proud to wonder what's the difference between hip-hop and rap, or why heavy metal guys have really long hair, and was it really Yoko Ono's fault? Send us your musical mysteries, and I volunteer to be the detective to get to the bottom of them.
Lucky that my lips not only mumble, this girl kisses like a thumb. Lucky that my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mums. Lucky I have strong legs like my mama, to run for cover when I need it. And these two eyes that for no other, the day you leave will cry a river. La-da-la-la-la-la, la-da-la-la-la-la. At your feet, I'm at your feet. Whenever, wherever, we're meant to be together. I'll be there and you'll be near, and that's the deal, my dear.
Up next, more music from the soul duo known as Lady, and a peek at this week's Check Ahead, which features an album from the singer-songwriter Amy Spies. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now from Lady, the duo that features the singers Terry Walker and Nicole Ray. They're playing here in the studio, and here's another song. This one's called Get Ready.
They don't believe.
I'm ready, I'm ready, ready, ready. So get ready, get ready, get ready, ready, ready. You look so surprised because I am standing. See, this is my destiny. It's in my blood, in my blood, yeah. See, there ain't nobody like me. Somehow I make it easy.
Once again, that's the band Lady with a live performance in the Soundcheck studio. That's called Get Ready. And if you liked hearing Lady in the studio, you might want to check out the video that we shot of them. You can find it on our website at soundcheck.org. Speaking of soundcheck.org, that's where you'll also find this week's Check Ahead feature, which comes to us from the Nashville-based singer and songwriter Amy Spies. How to Sleep in a Stormy Boat is the name of her fifth studio album. Doesn't come out till April 16th, but we're streaming it in its entirety on our website right now. Here's Soundcheck producer Greta Cohn with more of the story.
He promised he'd always stay and watch over me. Oh, why did you wait till now, said the shore to the sea.
Amy Spies did not plan on becoming a songwriter. When she first moved to New York 2 decades ago, she came to study acting. She joined the National Shakespeare Company and found that she was good at it.
Trying to make a living as an actress in New York was really difficult, but I had a really great time because I got cast a lot in Shakespearean roles.
But then she picks up a pawn shop guitar, finds herself writing songs, and decides she wants to trade in the theater stage for the stages of coffee houses and clubs. She meets Judy Collins, who puts out one of her records. And eventually, she even leaves New York. She goes to Nashville to get closer to the country and folk world that she's fallen in love with.
I can't hear them anymore. Oh, there was a time once I'd have given in. I'd hear your savage white caps rolling in. Your troughs would come up slow beneath.
She thought she'd left the theater behind for good. Until suddenly, life started handing her challenges of Shakespearean proportions. In 2011, she woke up, and she'd lost her voice.
You know, it was a mystery. It was such a sudden thing, and as a singer, it's the scariest thing that can happen. I just woke up one day, and my voice was gone, and I had to go through a period of 2 months of not singing and wondering if I would ever sing again. And if I couldn't sing, what would I do next? What would I do with the rest of my life?
So as she's facing all these questions, she turns to her old friend Shakespeare and characters like Othello and Desdemona for help.
I realized that I was kind of in some way starting a conversation with these characters that I knew so well from like 15, 20 years ago. And once I realized that, I didn't want to tell anybody. I thought I'd keep it a secret because I thought that's a record nobody's going to want to listen to.
But there's a reason why Shakespeare has endured. And Amy found that it was so relatable to her that these larger-than-life characters could have the same experiences that we do. And she found a way for her songwriting to tap into that.
These were just ordinary people in extraordinary situations that out from their mouth, from this very human moment of loss or grief or passion, revenge, just came poetry. And so to have a folk song, have a conversation with Othello or Desdemona or, you know, or Henry V seemed strange until I realized we're all kind of dealing with the same thing.
And for the title track, How to Sleep in a Stormy Boat, she drew on the story of King Lear.
And I've heard it said that's when trouble comes. I've been blown by this wind, and I know this sea. I've been out here before.
I didn't take King Lear and say, I'm going to write, okay, I love this monologue of King Lear's when he's standing on the brink of insanity and, you know, raging at the winds and the hurricane, and think, oh, I'll write a song to that. I just thought, I wonder what character this might relate to. And King Lear, the first thing that came to my mind was a blow, winds blow, crack rage. You know, he's fighting against so many demons at that moment. He's fighting against the weather. He's fighting against grief at his daughters and anger and rage. But he's also fighting at this his impending death. He's losing his mind, really, in senility. And that he can't do anything about it. That's his body. That's what he's got. And our bodies fail us, and our minds fail us. The people that we love fail us. But we still have to find a way to stay in that ship, you know?
But for all the stormy seas and grief and rage, the album is ultimately a celebration of perseverance and hope from the opening notes of the very first song, The Fortunate Ones.
We are the drunks and the dreamers, the criers and cheaters, the ones you'll find down on our knees. We are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones.
And I wanted to open the record with it rather than close the record with it, because I sort of wanted it to be a little bit like the prologue, you know, like, you know, the narrator comes out before the play begins and tells you it's all going to be okay at the end, and then you can go through it. Rather than have it be this sort of mysterious, dark record, it's a journey that I'm going to tell you at the start that we're going to go through some rough times, but we're going to end up okay because we've gone through this.
We are the fortunate ones. We are greedy and growling, full moon howling, if only to hear it out loud. We are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones, the fuel in this crazy machine, for dreaming the things that we dream, for saying the things that we say when we say. We are light of day sleepers, midnight mistreaters, keeping the monsters at bay. We are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones. Thank you.
that we say when we say we're the raging pretenders, the five-time offenders, hurting nobody more than ourselves. We are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones. We're impossible light, and we're holding on tight to hearts we took down from the shelves. We are the fortunate ones.
That was singer and songwriter Amy Spiess talking with our producer, Greta Cohn. You can get a preview of Amy Spiess' new record, How to Sleep in a Stormy Boat, in this week's Check Ahead. The album is streaming in its entirety at soundcheck.org. That'll do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow on the show, Juanes, the international Colombian superstar, recently picked up a Grammy and two Latin Grammys for his most recent record. He'll join us to look back at the first four decades of his life, as detailed in his new memoir, Juanes, Chasing the Sun. We'll also look at the best videos of 2013 so far. And live music from the Black Angels, the Austin, Texas psychedelic rock band. They have a new album out called Indigo Meadow, and it rocks. Our theme song was composed by New York keyboardist Marco Benevento. It's called Eagle Rock and appears on his latest album, Tiger Face. You can find out more about Marco and his music by clicking the link called About Our Theme Song at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you back here tomorrow at 9. This is Soundcheck.